Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Emily. Eric gives us a little note here. It says, listener Emily is an LSAC fee waiver recipient and she used one of her free tests to register for the October LSAT. But Emily is newly demon-brained, that's her words apparently, and now knows that she shouldn't have registered for the October LSAT.
Okay. So Emily says, while there are no penalties for cancellation due to the fee waiver, it would involve forfeiting one of my two covered attempts, and that's $215. My family suggests taking it for practice. Sorry, Emily's family, you're wrong.
Wrong.
And an official diagnostic. Practice and an official diagnostic. You don't need an official diagnostic. You just do a practice test. The practice tests are real tests. If you take it seriously, that's as official of a diagnostic as you want. You don't want your diagnostic to be on record.
Nathan's so animated that the string for your blinds is like moving.
Oh, it's like caught on me. Sorry. Distracting you. Okay. However, I've heard your advice against taking the LSAT when not fully prepared. Should I cancel my registration to preserve my attempts or take it for practice, keeping in mind that registration fees may really strain my budget? I'm not confident I'll be able to afford many additional attempts. Ugh.
This sucks. I'm sorry, Emily, for the situation that you're in. The irony of this situation is that you need these attempts and you need to pay for them all the more.
Yeah.
It's where, if you're going to put money anywhere, it's into the LSAT and your attempts, sadly. I'm sorry, also, but this is such an expensive process. Yeah.
Appeal. When you withdraw, not if, but when you withdraw from the October test because you're not ready, sounds like you haven't really even prepared. I mean, if you're newly demon brained, then, you know, we need a month or more of indoctrination before you're going to be ready to approach this test.
Another word for that.
In a demon way. No. When you withdraw, tell them you're doing it because of. I mean, I don't want you to lie. But. Surely you had the flu or someone in your family was sick or circumstances beyond your control is what I'm saying.
Well, you could even say that. You could say circumstances beyond my control.
Family reasons.
I wouldn't even go that far. You could just say, hey, circumstances beyond control prevent me from taking this test. Is there any way due to my financial circumstances I can get this extended?
Yeah. See if you can do it on the telephone, maybe. Call them up and ask them for that.
Yeah.
Because I think the policy is going to be obviously no, but I bet they have some leeway. Somebody could feel sorry for you, take pity on you, and you just say, hey, you know, it's just circumstances and I really can't take the October test. I wish they would do a better job, right? Like they should do like some education when they give people the fee waiver. They should like communicate to them that they need to be careful about using, like, don't just fucking pop off and take the test. The problem is, you know, they want to encourage people down the law school path.
They don't know. Yeah. They don't know what they're recommending. Right. We just reviewed on a previous episode, their LSAT preparation plan, which was like, oh, it's good to take the test in September and October. And
yeah. What was that? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, see if you can get this covered. You know, I know that their policy is going to be they won't pay for the reschedule, but if you just, you know, tell them circumstances beyond your control. And then if they don't, they don't. You know, it's $215 that you squandered. But I want you to prep hard before you take your first official, because you want up to 5 bites at the official without muddying up your record with a bunch of shitty scores. I mean, law schools really only care about the highest one, but I still wouldn't be burning up attempts just to put bad scores on record. But there's no,
yeah,
there's
no, you want to save it because, and this is where the irony comes in, Emily, you need to spend the money on those attempts so that you can save thousands of dollars in law school.
Yeah, it's a 100 times investment that you're going to get back, or even 1,000 times.
You just don't have these opportunities elsewhere. You can't put money in the stock market and generally expect to make anywhere close to the return that you're going to make potentially with getting a great LSAT score.
When you pay $215 to take the LSAT, the result could be worth $215,000 of free law school tuition. So for every dollar you invest, there's a possibility of 1,000-to-1 payoff.
But you want to invest it, right? That's the thing. Versus just if you pay $215 and throw it away on an unprepared mind.
It's an example of the rich getting richer. There's really nothing we can do. I mean, other than making the test free, you know, there's really no way to avoid this. But the rich are going to get richer, you know. And so, Emily, I don't know, take a part-time job to save up some additional cash, get some funding from your friends and family. Maybe wait another cycle. You really need to do this process correctly. If you don't, you're going to end up impoverishing yourself to the tune of, you know, graduating from law school, owing $215,000 or $300,000 or whatever it is. And if you instead save up $1,000 to retake the LSAT a few times, you end up graduating law school with no debt, or very little debt. It's life-changing money that we're talking about, which is why we're so hardcore, I guess, about some of our advice.
Yep.
Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.